This is a Zach Feldman Show replay on ZRadioLive.com.
The website music station Z Radio Live. This is the Zach Feldman Show. Joining me over the phone is an artist. His name is Special Izzy, and he has a brand new book that just released called Little House by a Wishing Well. Special Izzy, thanks so much for joining me here on the Zach Feldman Show. How's everything going?
Oh, man, it's going awesome. Thank you for asking.
Yes, anytime. Tell me all about this brand new book. It just released today. Tell me all about it.
Well, it's supposed to be a book to, like, get you to kind of look back at your life and see what, you know, maybe you've done in your past that might make you, I guess, wish that you could have changed to make something better so that your home, your body, your mind, you know, because our bodies are like kind of like our homes, our permanent homes until we're out of here. But like, it's just that way to kind of look at yourself and kind of think to yourself, what can you do to kind of change yourself? I mean, it's going to be like through four different people's perspectives, but at the end of it, I hope to have all my readers like be able to kind of see themselves through one of the characters and think maybe they could do something like one of the characters to, I guess, maybe bring themselves some better joy, because a lot of us, it's like we kind of beat ourselves down from our past, you know? Mm-hmm. Like some things we experience just give us that, like, I don't know, like just hatred for ourselves that make us think that we can't move forward.
Yeah, and, no, 100%. I agree with you. I mean, it's like, it's like, you know, the creativity of it behind it. It's like, you know, it's very like subreal, you know? Tell me all about, you know, tell me all about kind of your creating process. Like, where do you kind of start when you're trying to create a story?
I have so many different methods to it. So sometimes I start with just the title, and then I'll like kind of like build all around it. But then sometimes, like, most of my stories are based on like me. I don't know why. I guess that's how you really do most of your stuff anyway, is just something you experience yourself. So it's like, I'll take something that might have happened to me, or something that, like, I'll be at the grocery store and like maybe I'll see like a woman walk past and she might be, I don't know, reaching for something, and then I'll turn it into a story. I don't know why. It's just crazy. Like, I'll be like, and this woman, then eventually some robber came around the corner and started, like, I don't know, telling her, hey, I want your buggy or something crazy, and it turns into a story. But it's wild. Most of the time when I end up, when I end up finishing like my synopsis and send it to like one of my friends, because I don't know if you noticed, or well, your readers or your listeners, if they do end up checking out my book, they'll notice that I put Special Izzy in friends, because my stories aren't just from me. I normally reach out to someone I know. I have like tons of friends that are creators as well, like ghostwriters and animators and just every kind of service you can imagine. Like, so when we do things, we kind of like just
do it all together.
Yeah, and just kind of like throw it together and turn it into something magical.
I mean, it's interesting too that, you know, you kind of work and collaborate with everybody, because it's like, you know, also it's kind of the same thing on your YouTube channel too, you know, on Specializing Friends, and you're just like, you know,
and I, that's how doing I have all this, it, I want to make sure, I want to make sure everyone knows that I have people with me. It's not just, I don't want to do like, just put my own name as my brand and then just make people think, oh, this is all me, because it's not. I don't have time to do all this by myself. Half the time, like, I don't even get a chance to do most of my own editing on my my videos. I have to have friends help me gather together and get the pieces exactly how I want it to be, because like, I'll be at work and I'll see something, like, I'll edit it before it started to edit before I leave, but then I'll take like a break and I'll look at something and I'm like, oh God, I need to change that like now while it's on my brain. And then I'll like message one of my homies and say, hey, look, can you do me a favor just so I don't forget and make sure I get this done now, because we got to drop the video today or something. Just could you handle that for me? And they're like, yeah, because they, I don't know, everybody I talk to loves what I do and they're loving being a part of it. So it's kind of nice.
That's awesome. Hey, where did the name Special Izzy come from? Where did that start?
Now that one might be a little dark, but we're gonna, I'm going to take you there. So whenever I was a kid, I, a lot of terrible, terrible, terrible childhood things could happen to a child, you know what I mean? And it followed me to school. And the problem was that people, I want to say my administrators, you know, just teachers and stuff, mm-hmm. they, I guess, instead of maybe thinking that there was a problem and they can help me through, like, maybe encouraging me to, I don't know, not just, you know, focus in class, but actually get me to where I need to be able to do that focusing. They kind of just threw me to the wayside, and I ended up going to, like, alternative school and mm-hmm. just a lot of play. Like, I end up repeating the 11th grade 3 times.
Oh, shit.
Not literally. I went to alternative school in 9th grade, but they were teaching 11th grade classes, and I was there for 3 years. So I had the same class over and over and over again. The same math questions I had from the year prior, I was able to answer the test without writing the question, without writing the answers down, because I remembered them from last year. So I just kind of ran with that, because they used to call me special. They were like, you know, it's like they treated me like I was a special needs kid. So,
but you weren't a special needs kid.
That was the thing. So it was like, I kind of played with that. And as I got older, I started to kind of like buckle down with, like, you know, learning, just trying to expand my mind with more information. So I could, I want to be the smartest man on the planet, which so far right now, I haven't got the credit for it yet, but I definitely think that I'm almost on my way there.
But you know, but to be clear, you know, you don't actually have any, you know, anything, any, like, you know, disability or anything like that.
Not that. Okay. So I know that I've, based on what happened when I was a kid, I went to, like, you know, psychologists mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And they diagnosed me with all types of stuff, like, bipolar, schizophrenia, stuff like that. And to me, it was like, I felt like they were just putting any label they can on me just so they can shuffle me through the system, because they put me on all types of drugs. I didn't take any of them. I mean, I did, but they made me feel like a zombie. It wasn't like, I'm like, why would I want to go from, I guess, this spontaneous child who loves the adventure to this child who wants to sit in my room all day and stare at a screen?
Yeah.
And not taking any of the information, because that was what was happening. I would watch TV, and I wouldn't even remember what I was watching when I was taking that stuff. So I stopped on my own, but I never, like I said, I never felt as though I was a disabled person.
Yeah.
But I felt like I've been treated that way my whole life.
It's interesting, you know, because you say that, because, I mean, for me, I've been diagnosed with ADHD, and I also am just, you know, I've been through that whole ringer that you've been through, you know, and it's just, and it sucks, because it's like, you know, you find these meds and you're just like, okay, they're going to help me? No, they don't. They fucking make you hear voices, or you know.
Yeah, right? It's like, or so what you're the just, fuck is the difference? Right, so
I remember once, I was stuck literally watching the Mets game, like, because I couldn't get my eyes off the TV because of my medicine.
Right.
Because I was just like zoned out.
I'm not saying you're not a Mets fan. Obviously, you're in New York.
No.
So, but you probably weren't even focusing on the game. You weren't even there for it. It's like watching it, but not being there.
Exactly. You know, but obviously now I have the correct meds, you know, and I'm all set up and I feel better. But it's sometimes, if you have, like, the wrong type of medicine, it just messes with you, man.
Yeah, yeah. And it makes it so much worse. I mean, that's why whenever you were saying, like, you hear voices now, it's like when you read the side effects of these things, it's like, is the medicine not as bad as the problem that you're trying to fix? I mean, come on. I mean, I would rather just deal with the voices that I already have versus you adding more voices in when you give me the pills.
But I will say, though, when you do have the correct formula, you know, it works. It fucking works. Yeah, thank God it works.
Mean, right now, I want to say my formula is a little bit more street-oriented, just because, like, I mean, so I don't know if marijuana is anywhere near legal in New York. I didn't really, haven't done any New York research towards marijuana, but down here, it's legal as a medicine. Like, so if you're prescribed marijuana, if you have your little marijuana card, you can go to any of the dispensaries around here.
Yeah, I've heard people, like, you know, they want to, you know, that they kind of think, oh, weed is kind of the alternative medicine, well, stuff like that. I don't know. There's no research on it, sadly, you know, to know if there's actually a good side effect for it. But
I mean, so for me,
you know, but for some people, it does help, you know, like it does. For pain or for something like that.
I'm going to say for me, I've been unfortunately smoking since I was, I mean, I just hit my first joint like 15, but I didn't start really smoking heavy until I got in a relationship where the girl was smoking cigarettes, and she refused to quit for me because I was like one of them kids, like, you shouldn't smoke, it's gonna destroy your lungs, da 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 da, and it was corny. But anyway, she eventually talked me into smoking, and I just ran with it. And I've been smoking since I was 20. I'm old as hell now. I don't really tell my age, just because I guess Prince said, if you never tell your age, you won't feel like it. And this is true. This is true. Right? I have never felt my age since I stopped saying it. So, and everyone always thinks I'm like 19, which is, I guess, because I got a baby face, but it's a gift and a curse because it's like kind of annoying. I got to like take, unfortunately, I have suffered from alopecia. Mm-hmm. So if I don't have my ID on me and I go in for one of the blunts for my marijuana, they'll try to card me, and instead of me running out to my car, I just take my hat off, because I never take my hat off, and I just like, hey, yeah, I'm old enough, bro. Trust me, okay? Leave me alone. Unless I was 16 balding, bro. Like,
honestly, hello. I've gotten to the age where I don't even get ID'd when I walk into a bar, and I'm like, oh, fuck, here we go. I mean, it's just like, shit, here we go now.
It's like, damn, I'm at that age now. That's why I said I try not to say mine at all, but...
Well, you know what? Let's go back to these books, though, because like, I'm really
totally ran.
I want to ask you too about, you know, about Punctures and about Out of This World, which are two books that you've released, you know, last year.
This year.
Yeah. And well, we're almost to last year. Almost to last year. Yeah, we're right there.
A couple more days. Just a few more days, man.
I'm just so excited. Just get me out of 2022.
Get it out of.
But you know, you've released them this year. Obviously, they were success hits, you know, on Amazon. Tell me about kind of, you know, the process from making those books.
For those ones, okay. So I don't know if we already had mentioned that right now I'm doing it in I'm doing my releases in like phases. Like there's going to be four books per phase.
No, we haven't talked about that. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So I plan. Okay. I watched South Park and there was an episode. They were making fun of the Marvel releases and how they have their little strategy they were going to do for I don't know. Do you watch South Park?
I watch South Park. Yeah.
Okay. So do you remember they had Coon and Friends?
Yes.
Okay, so they were talking about doing a whole, like, epic movie release for all.
Well, they made that into a video game.
They did, right?
Which is a fantastic game.
Which is a fan, yes. Yeah. It was so cool. But it was just funny because they kind of, like, clown Marvel movies with that. They were just, like, board of directors. These are, like, kids in, like, this board of directors room, like, saying, all right, guys, this is how we're going to do this. And we're going to get everybody hooked in. And when I did my research prior to the episode, honestly, I noticed the same pattern. And I'm like, that's genius. You hook everybody in by breaking it down in enough, you know, layers to where people can really get invested in your stories. So for me, like, I already planned to write a book years ago, but I never have time. But I like, since I started to collaborate with my friends to do things, I was like, wow, I can really get a lot done. So you see, I got three books done this year, which to me is insane.
I'm
trying to get a Guinness Book World Records, but I have no idea how many books I would need to release in 1 year. But I can't, because I want to keep pace on the releases. One will be released in normally in the middle of the year, in June. I'm going to try to release one February, like as a Valentine type of story, one towards Christmas, something wholesome, but yet most of my work is dark. You'll notice that if you really pay attention to my work, I try to talk about dark things in a light way so people can easily can digest it.
Kind of like dark comedy in a sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just a little bit more serious, I guess. I do. Cause I do make jokes with my stuff, but when you get into it, I try to hit you with a serious note.
And you know, it's something about your work too. You know, it's just very creative to get those stories, you know, all together. And first off, you told me before we started this interview, you know, you work six jobs besides this. You know, how do you
and
have time?
All on paper.
Yeah, and how do you have time to do all this other extra stuff, including your YouTube channel, including writing all these books.
Yeah, okay. So I cheat. When I'm at work, I'm always on my phone. So I do, you know, see how I was able to message you those couple messages to let you, like, you know, to get ready for this interview. But there was gaps between, and those gaps are whenever, like, I just cannot get on my phone. But I normally, on break, I'll, like, try to get as much as I can. I normally get, like, 600 words done. Like, throughout the day, I might get 1,000. I try, but, I mean, it doesn't always work that way for me. But that's just how I get my stuff done for, like, the books. Like, for YouTube, I'll do some editing. Like I said, I do my editing, a little bit of editing before I go to bed when I wake up. I'll send it to my friend while I'm at work. They'll do a little bit for me. Also, I have a lot of friends that help me with, like, to get the outlines done for the stories. Like, because actually, I have 33 stories planned right now that are officially already set up. The outlines are getting finished. I just have to get everything we need for everything. You know, it's not cheap to do this. this is a very expensive process.
Oh, of course it is.
And because I I loved Goosebumps growing up. This is another reason why I wanted to do it in phases and series like this, because it wasn't just the story that captured me with Goosebumps. It was the cover. It was everything about the story itself. So I'm trying to do the same thing with my stories. Like, I get custom covers done. I'll have, like, certain, like, the inside of the book. We're doing different, like, words, like, with outlines on the words and stuff. It's called line editing, but we have it set up certain ways so that it, you know, some books are a little bit more, what's the word? I want to say captivating than others, but it's just the way that it addresses the reader. The reader reads it differently when it's set up differently in different forms. So, like, the next story after this, The Little House by the Wishing Well, is going to be, Jesus, Lord have mercy. Finding faith. Yes, remembering faith. I'm sorry. I got no, right? All these stories. But it's remembering faith.
There's just so many projects that you're working on.
Oh, my God. No, it's
and then not only that, you also release music, too, at the same time.
Uh-huh. I have my Christmas album I released last year. I'm re-releasing it now. I'm trying to only release it during Christmas, and I'm not actually going to sell it or promote it. It's for those people that I feel have that real Christmas energy. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you're following my work and you're invested in something I got going on, I'll slide you my album for free. Just kind of like, hey, here, check this out. And everyone that listens to it, they're like, you're like the Weird Al of, like, rap music, of, like, hip hop music. And it's kind of cool because that was where I was trying to aim for. Because, like, like I said, most of my work, it's like I try to do it like a dark comedy, but it's like I wanted to be serious, but I want you to be able to consume it
and put a smile on your face too.
And put a smile on your face. Yeah, yeah. I want you to be able to really enjoy what you're hearing, but I want you to take something from it. I don't want to just, because that's, I don't like to sell things. I hate money. I think it's the worst, not really the worst thing that we ever created as humans, because it's the best way to trade, because we, based on, you know, the timeline whenever it was formed, it's not like we have, like, internet money today. That was the best way to trade things. Nowadays, I feel like if we all, like, kind of maybe did, like, 4 hours of work somewhere, we could all live for free. Because it's like, if you worked for 4 hours somewhere at this location, and then you left work, and then you went to somewhere else where someone else was working there 4 hours, you'd be able to get whatever they're producing. You know what I mean? Because that's all really what we do. That's all money is, a form of just trading our time to one another.
Yeah.
I watched a movie, In Time. I don't know if you remember that movie with Justin Timberlake.
I have not seen it, no.
You got to check that out. But Yeah, it's about Justin Timberlake living in this alternate world where they live on time that's calculated on their arms. Like, they have 25 years that starts to count down every day. So, and when they go to, like, stores or something, they have to put their arm against the machine, and it takes away some of their time, and it gives it to someone else, which was, again, just like money. It's just, instead of it being on our arms in numeral form, it's a piece of paper. I go to work $15 an hour, $20 an hour, wherever I'm at, then I get my paycheck and then I go to a restaurant or Walmart and I buy something that some company produced and I'm basically paying for them to pay their laborers, their hour wages and stuff like that. So it's just kind of like, it's like all the trade thing. I just wish that if we all figured this out as a whole, we could figure out that we can literally get away from the money system. Because all we'd have to do is just use our phone to calculate or whatever we have. We can use a card. We still swipe in to make sure you get your 4 hours a day. Just make sure you're helping to produce something.
Totally.
I mean, and it, yeah, and then we can learn. This is another reason why I feel like they call me special. Because I always thought outside the box. outside of the box.
Well, I'm excited for people to check out the books, you know, and also this brand new one that just released today, Founding Little House by Little House by a Wishing Well, and it's out now on Amazon. For those who want to keep up with you and find you all over social media, where can they find you?
Okay, so if you look up AKA underscore anything daddy, wherever you're at, that's where I'm at. So it's like if you're on Instagram. AKA underscore Graham Daddy. If you're on Facebook, Book Daddy. If you're on Reddit, Red Daddy. Just abbreviate it and you'll find me.
That is awesome. Well, Special Izzy, seriously, thank you so much for coming on this Zach Feldman show. And best of luck with all the projects that you're working on for this year. And actually for next year, I should say. And we're excited to see what you produce in 2023.
Thank you, Zach. I appreciate this interview, buddy.
Anytime. The Webster Music Station, Z Radio Live. Back and more, Zach Feldman Show after this.
Want to hear more? Listen to the Zach Feldman Show every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on ZRadioLive.com.